I'd like you to turn with me to three passages of Scripture this morning. I'd like to speak a message simply entitled, Give Thanks. And the verses will be on the screen as well. But the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, will be the first passage that I'd like to read. And again, I'm reading passages that were the inspiration for that song that we just sang. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul says this, Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what?
Strong.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Now that's a tough one. He says, I take pleasure in. How can you have pleasure in reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses? How can you take pleasure in that? Well, the key is when he said, for Christ's sake. I don't think anybody wakes up in the morning saying, boy, I sure hope I have some persecution today. I sure hope I have some distress today. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, boy, I hope that I just get reproached today. We don't do that. How many know we wake up and hoping we don't have any of those things, right? I want it to be a good day. I want my van to start. I want to be able to get to where I'm going. I want a good day. But Paul said, I'll take pleasure in those things if they're for Christ's sake. If I'm going through those because I am a follower of Jesus Christ, then I'll take pleasure in them because I know this. I know that when I am weak, then I am strong. And he could base that on verse 9, where Jesus said to him, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so when I am weak, let the weak say, I am strong, strong in the Lord. If you'll turn back a couple of pages in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says these words, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. This has nothing to do with money. This verse has nothing to do with money. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's not bothering me, sis. You just let that little guy. See, I speak baby language. And that says, he's saying, amen, pastor, amen. And so let him go. No, whatever you need to do. But he's fine. He's not bothering me. And so Jesus was rich. How many know that Jesus was with God in heaven and he was rich? He had everything. I'm not talking about money. I mean, he had the riches of eternity. And yet he chose to come down to this earth and become poor so that we could become rich, not in money, but in grace, in mercy, in forgiveness, in kindness. You can have all the money in the world. You can have all the money in the world and not buy one single drop of the blood that Jesus shed for us on the cross. Amen? You can't buy one forgiveness. Now, there may be those that teach you can, that if you pay enough, you can get forgiven of anything, but no, you can't. The forgiveness of Jesus comes straight from the heart of a God who loved us so much. He became poor. Think of that. He became poor. Jesus came and was born of a virgin, a little handmaid, a little young teenager. Scholars believe Mary was probably between the ages of 14 and 18 or 17, but more likely 15 or 16 years of age when she became pregnant with Jesus. And we know the miracle of that story. The power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed this young girl And she became pregnant with Jesus Christ. And she said to the angel, she said, how can this be? When the angel said, you've been chosen to bear the Son of God. She said, how can this be, seeing I've not known a man? And the angel said, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. We don't understand all that. All we know is that she was a virgin and she became pregnant with Jesus. And that's part of what the children will do on the kids program. They'll kind of illustrate that and what those things mean, and the animals and the manger and some of the Christmas tree things. We're going to do all that, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But that was a miracle. And he was born into poverty. Mary and Joseph lived in this little village called Nazareth, and they were poor. They had nothing. Jesus was born poor. He didn't have a place to lay his head. They went to Bethlehem and laid in the manger. There was no room in the inn. You know the Christmas story. And he was raised in abject poverty. And yet he did that, having been rich, the Son of God in heaven and all the glories of that. He did that so that we could become rich in the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, it's nice to have money. How many know it's nice to have money? It's nice to have a little money to shop with. Two people raised their hand. Come on, it doesn't get any better than this. So yeah, there you go. How many know it's nice to have a little money? All right, nothing wrong with that. It's money's not the root of all evil. It's the love of the money that's the root of all evil, right? So it's nice to have a little money. But even if you have nothing, you are rich in the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's why in Africa, when we were there a number of years ago, we sat in a little village, and they had to sit. If you were privileged there, you got to sit on rough-hewn timbers. And that's for the elders. And then the younger you got, the worse seat you got. In that culture, the elders are treated to the best seat in the house. And the best seat in the house, I got to sit beside an elder. And as he's sitting there, I looked at him, and his pants were ripped and torn. He didn't know that someday that would be fashionable, but they were ripped and torn. He had no shoes on his feet. You could tell the scars. His top that he had on was ripped. He was one of the elders. He was sitting there, and when it came time for testimonies, he stood up. And I knew this man was poorer than a church mouse. They would probably miss a meal that day in order to feed the visitors that were there. He stood up, and through the translator, he said, I thank God that I am so blessed. Jesus has been so good to me. I have everything I need. He has forgiven me of my sins. And I'm so blessed today that God has sent our visitors to be with us in our village. And he sat down, and everyone cheered. And I sit there, humbled, because I had more than this guy would ever see in his life. But he had a heart of gratitude. Amen? You see, this verse isn't about riches. It's about the riches of the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder it inspired Henry Smith to write the words to that song. Let the weak say, I am strong, and let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. This weak to strong, this weak to strong. What did he mean by that? There are times that we just don't have strength of our own to go through certain situations. Some in our Landmark family are going through that right now. You don't know all the details and may not know all the details, but you don't need all the details to know that sometimes in a church body, folks are going through some really tough times, and they're so weak they can hardly even get up the muster to come and be in the church service. But I'm telling you, it's the times like that that God gives them a strength that doesn't come any other time. That kind of strength only comes when you are weak in yourself. He comes and makes you strong in the Lord. Amen? That's why the weak say, I am strong. It's not a lie. It is a faith statement. Most of the time when you come to church and you see me and you say, Pastor, how you doing? I'm going to say, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And sometimes, honestly, I'm going through a rough time, but I'm saying I'm doing good by faith. I'm not lying. I'm by faith. I'm doing good because that's what the Lord wants. But I'm not denying the fact that sometimes I go through rough times, but a strength that only God can give comes only at that moment when you really need it. When you're doing great, when you're up here, you don't need that strength, right? You're doing fine. But when you get down and you get discouraged and you begin to feel the pressures and you begin to feel that nobody cares about you, you begin to feel like you don't have a friend in the world, I'm telling you, that's when Jesus says, let the weak say, I am strong. And the Lord gives you a special strength where you can come and make it. Marathon runners call it, they hit the wall. If you run a marathon, they hit the wall and then they get that second wind. And that second wind carries them through. They're able to finish the race because there's another gear there, and it comes through feeling. There's just something inside of us that our physical bodies have that ability to finish that race. And for Christians, it's the strength that comes when we're feeling weak. And I just want you to know, Jesus does that for us because he loves us. He loves every one of you here today. He doesn't care where you come from, what you've been. He doesn't care if other people may not care about you. Jesus cares about you. I want to tell you this right now. You have a friend in Jesus. I said, you have a friend in Jesus. And he's not just a friend, he's a Savior. And he loves you and he gave his life for you. If you were the only person in the world that needed a Savior, he would have died on the cross just for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Just for you. Because he cares about every one of you here today. You may not feel that way. You may not feel like anyone cares. But I'm telling you, God does. He loves you. And he gives you that strength in those weak moments. And we've all probably experienced those weak times. So let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, if you would please, chapter 3. I want to read part of what Jesus told a church in an area, a town called Laodicea. It is the seventh of the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus had a message to each one. And in Revelation chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18, he gets right to the heart of this church. Now, mind you, he's talking to believers, but they have lost something. And I believe what they lost, they lost the ability or the willingness to be grateful. I believe this is a church that became ungrateful. They were so blessed with stuff that they forgot to thank God for what he'd given them. Look at what he says in Revelation 3:17. Because you say, these are the words of Jesus, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. Jesus said, that's what I have against you. You're a church, and you say, we don't need anything. We are wealthy. We are rich. We don't need anything. I'll tell you right now, whenever I hear about a church that says, we don't need anything, I get worried. I get worried. When I hear people say, I don't need anything, I get worried. Because the truth is, we always need something. We always need something. And he says, that's what you say, but you don't know, verse 17, don't you know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? So on the outside, this church looked like they were just hunky-dory. Everything was good to go and no problems at all. And yet Jesus said, in the inside, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So verse 18, I counsel you then, and he says three things you need. You need to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. And he wasn't talking about money gold. He was talking about a precious thing that they had lost. And I believe that that was a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that is worth more than silver and more than gold. The psalmist talked about it. And how many know that a relationship with Jesus is far exceeds any amount of money, gold or silver? Amen? So he said, you need to come back to a gratitude for what Jesus has done for you. Secondly, you need white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. These folks had become so self-righteous, they'd forgot where they came from. and how Jesus had saved him. He said, you need to get on these garments again, these white garments that represent the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. Our good works, all the things that we do, they may be fine, but they just don't count for anything when we're depending on that for our salvation. You cannot earn your salvation. And so the righteousness of God only comes through his doing. And then finally he says, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. It was interesting that the Laodicean church was in an area of Laodicea, and there was warm springs that people would go and sit in for medicinal purposes, and then it had the coldest artesian wells in the area as well. So they had a cold artesian well that was the best water around to drink. And then they had these warm springs, the water that was warm, that was hot, they could soak in for medicinal purposes. That's why Jesus said to them, he said, you are lukewarm and I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're neither cold nor hot. He was using something that they would understand. Cold is good, hot is good, but lukewarm makes you vomit, all right? And so that's where you are. And it was also, interesting enough, an area where they mined a certain chemical that they would mix into paste and they would put it on your eyes to help eye ailments. So you need to get back to the what really makes you see well, and that is God needs to do something with your spiritual eyesight. Your spiritual eyesight. You need to look at things differently. And I believe that what he was dealing with was a church of ingratitude. The sad church of misplaced values. They had placed all their values on how good they were doing, and they had forgotten to give thanks to Jesus. And we must never allow ourselves to be in that case, right? Never. And so, Lord, help us to be people of gratitude. We need to be thankful. Most of all, we need to be thankful for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. That's why we do communion once a month. We try to do it once a month so that we can remember him. And he said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Then we need to be thankful. I've already mentioned that we live in the nation that we live in. With all of its troubles, it's the best nation in the world, in my opinion. We need to be thankful for our family. And some of you are saying right now, you don't know my family. If you knew my family, it's hard to be thankful for. Hey, you know, they're still your family. Amen? Still your family. Now, there may be some bad sheep in your family, but they're still family. You know, and that's what, you've heard my story. Some of my family, they were, oh my goodness, I can't even tell you some of my family. Not the family I have with me now, but, you know, other family. And the things that they did, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'm going to say it. And I love him. He straightened out eventually, but he would go to people's houses and they would pay him to pump their septic tank. And he would take it and pump it and then go put it in someone else's and then go to their house, try to get money for them, and he'd pump it back. It was, I don't know why that came to my mind. So you think your family's bad? Huh? I could tell you stories. But I'm thankful. You know why I was thankful for Uncle James? He had 8 kids. And never once did those kids go hungry. And he had so many jobs, I can't tell you. But he took care of them. And his wife died tragically at a young age. But he made sure those kids always were taken care of. And I admired him for that. I didn't like what he did with the septic tank stuff. Be thankful for your family. I didn't tell that in first service, and so you're blessed. You got to hear about septic tanks today. Be thankful for your family, even the rough and tough ones, even the ones that are difficult to get along with. Be thankful for your family. Be thankful for your friends. We can never have enough friends. Amen? Be thankful for your friends. Take time to be with them and thank God for them. And on we can go, but never lose the heart of gratitude. Never lose the heart of gratitude. To finish, I want to turn to Luke, the book of Luke. I want to read a little passage from Luke chapter 1. So we've just finished Thanksgiving, and again, it was later this year so that we're closer to Christmas than we normally are at Thanksgiving weekend. We go from that time of being thankful and emphasizing that, and we go from the turkey to the tree. It's just a quick jump, just like that. And so it's important to have a heart of thanksgiving. That's why I wanted to share about this song this morning that we sang. But now I want to take us and tie it back into Christmas, because the Christmas season starts. And I know all of I know all this stuff. I know all this stuff. I've heard the news like you have. Black Friday, $4.1 billion was spent. $4.1 billion. It's a record. Things are really going well in the nation economically. Maybe you haven't felt it yet, or I haven't felt it yet, but it is, you know. And I know the commercialism, and I know all of that. Put all that aside, and I have nothing against Christmas. I love Christmas time. I love that we can exchange gifts. It's, you know, to me, the most important thing is having my family nearby. I mean, that's the greatest gift. But I'm not anti-Christian, or Christmas. I'm not anti-Christmas at all. But I want to remind us of why Christmas is important. It's because a little girl named Mary said yes to the angel of the Lord. When the angel of the Lord said, "You've been chosen, Mary." And she said, "Why me?" Said, "Because you found favor with God." That a little girl named Mary would say yes. And then an older gentleman named Joseph, who was betrothed to her, was engaged to her, would also say yes. To not divorcing her, which he could have, because she was found to be pregnant. I can only imagine the gossip that was going on in Nazareth. You know, we need to be careful that our prayer requests don't end up gossip sessions. Let's pray for Mary. Did you know she's pregnant? Oh, no. I wonder who it was. Was it Joseph? Let's pray for Joseph. Hello? Come on. I'm sorry, I'm meddling now. Now when I need the baby, he's asleep, but I need the baby to just go, amen. No, the truth of it is they said yes. And Joseph was willing to go with Mary and honor her because the Lord had spoken to him in a vision. And they traveled to Bethlehem. They had nothing. They were as poor can be. They ended up in Bethlehem, no room in the inn. You know the story. And Jesus was born probably in a cave, put in a little manger, a little feeding trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes, just wrapped in cloth. But he was the Son of God and became poor that we might become rich. And Mary expressed her gratitude toward God choosing her, and she wrote it in what is called Mary's Song in Luke 1:46. It is called the Magnificat, taken from the word magnifies, that means declaring the greatness of God. It is called Mary's Song. Let me read it to you. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty and has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. These are the words of an illiterate little peasant girl who had nothing, but God inspired her to speak these powerful words of gratitude. And if you will notice, in verse 46, she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord." And in the next verse, she says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." My soul magnifies, my spirit rejoices. And in verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She begins to express gratitude. And my sense of this passage is that where soul and her spirit met, it produced gratitude that ended up in praise to Almighty God. And I know that in Hebrews it says, "The word of God is quick and powerful, and divides us under even where soul and spirit meets." The word of God goes right to that place. And I believe that what Mary was declaring is where my soul and my spirit meet is where praise begins to be generated and worship begins to be given to Almighty God. And the spirit of gratitude becomes powerful before the Lord. God has designed it, in my opinion, that where your soul and your spirit meet together in that mysterious place within inside of us somewhere, it is out of that reservoir comes the praise and the glory and the magnificence of Jesus Christ that we declare when we give him praise and thanksgiving and gratitude. Amen. Where soul and spirit meet. And what greater time of the year than to do that? We should do it all year long, but what greater time to do that than a time when we just ended up with Thanksgiving? We're just entering into Christmas. What greater time to let soul and spirit meet, and from that come our praises to Almighty God and our thanksgiving for what He's done for us. Amen? Are you happy for Jesus today? Grateful? Give Him a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. For what He's done for me. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You this morning. Father, we are grateful for all that You've done for us. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Lord, because You have done great and mighty things, not just for Mary, but for all of us as well. We thank You for communion this morning and the reminder that it is the greatest gift that we could ever receive, and that is the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And so we can say along with the songwriter, "Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for me." We thank You, Jesus, that we've been able to come together today. And as we get ready to dismiss and we go our separate ways, may we leave with this sense of gratitude. May we never forget to be gracious and to be thankful, Lord, for the one we came with, for our family, for our friends. May we remember to say thank You often. May we remember to give You praise often. May we remember, Lord, the reason for the season, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Father, in these next weeks, if we have programs and different activities and festivities, and Lord, we'll get a little weary sometimes because of it, but may we, above it all, Lord, be grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ. And that, God, You loved us so much that You would send Him to die on the cross for us. We thank You for it today. Bless Your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank Him for His word now. Let's thank Him for His word. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for coming. And if not before, we look forward to seeing you next Sunday. God bless you.